UWA 517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And if it was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago.
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we thought?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Wherever in the world you are listening from tonight, I hope you're all doing okay. Tonight's guest is Cindy with a UFO encounter in Chester, Virginia, while on a camping trip with a group from her church, and a paranormal experience that followed a tragic accident. And our witness submission is from Dave in Massachusetts and his UFO sightings. But before we hear from our guests, I would like to say a thank you to this week's 5-star ratings and reviewers on Apple Podcasts. And they are Anne Rule, Gil Cox from the US, and Gunnar Damo, and Christian Binns from Australia. Thank you, guys. It really helps the show out to reach more listeners and potential guests. I would also like to say hello to Frank, listening from Norway, and also all our Scandinavian listeners from Iceland to Finland. I've seen a massive surge from those countries recently, and it's great to see. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to UFO Chronicles, the people's podcast, I like to call it. Nick does a wonderful job just letting people do what they do. And be honest with you, that's what really attracted me to this podcast, is just people telling their stories. And I love that. It's not people being talked over by commentators who just like to talk a lot, which is okay, too, I guess, for a little bit. But kind of gets annoying after a while. So Nick, you do a wonderful job, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to tell my story. Unfortunately, my stories are very short, not much detail to them, but let me just get right to them. I live in central Massachusetts in the southern part, and I've had 2 experiences in my lifetime. The first one, I'll go through the first one quickly. It was many years ago. I was young. I was probably about 20, 21 years old. It was 1994. I was living on a golf course in Norwalk, Connecticut. My brother and I, they actually gave us a little place to live in. We were not superintendents, but we were part of the crew training to be superintendents at the time to take care of golf courses. So they gave us this nice, fancy little beat-up trailer to live in, and well, we sure did our living in it, that's for sure. So one evening, and full disclaimer, and I have to put this right out there, yeah, we had a few adult beverages that night, so this story probably would not hold up in court that well, so I'll just be quick with it. It was a traditional classic sighting. We were heading out towards the 17th fairway, which we used to meet up at late night. It's about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, We used to head out there and meet some friends, co-workers out there, and kind of have our late night gathering. And we were heading out there on a golf course, a golf cart. And my brother and I, halfway there, we see up in the sky, I mean, literally, it was a round dot, just came towards us and stopped. And we just stopped the cart, and then it started doing the classic zigzag to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, closer, further. I mean, within split seconds, movement. And I imagine this had to be, you know, several miles at a time this object was moving. And no lie, my brother and I both looked at each other at the same time, said, nah, that didn't just happen. And we carried on and ended up at the 17th fairway and never talked about it again. So that was it. I mean, again, like I said, we were kind of under the influence of some adult beverages. So, you know, take for what it's worth. But I have to be honest with you, I've never hallucinated drinking alcohol before. But again, possibility. The second one is interesting, and it's one that I will never forget. It was a bizarre time, never mind the sighting, but the time and what was happening was very, very strange. Again, I live in central Massachusetts. I live in a valley, and tornadoes here are pretty rare. We have them every 50 to 100 years, maybe one might come by. And we actually had one in June 1st, 2011, this happened. Well, it was a pretty significant tornado, and it did some significant damage to the area. Luckily, it went by our house, tore up one of my buddies apart, his property pretty badly. I mean, he got really destroyed his property. It was a significant tornado. Anyways, the day after, we had more tornado warnings. Again, which is very rare and bizarre. Not to have one, but to have a second one. And so this one, my wife witnessed with me. We're on our second floor of our house, and it was about dusk time. And we're standing kind of like on a balcony outside, just looking outside, because the sky was very strange. The colors were very strange. The wind was extremely gusty. I mean, 30, 40, 50 mile per hour gust winds. So we were getting ready. We thought, oh boy, here we go again. We had the basement unlocked, had the dogs down there at the time, just in case, get everything ready, you know, in case we were going to get hit again. Well, before we ended up going downstairs in the basement, because it did get a little crazy, we're standing there looking, and very bizarrely, three round orbs about the size of a basketball, no bigger, not much smaller, but three in a row with equal distances, maybe 2 feet apart, 2 to 3 feet apart, went right by our house on the street. It was going towards the left in a horizontal motion. And again, these were not any sort of balloons, because it was extremely windy and the wind had no effect on these things. And they were just like an odd tan, a dark tannish color. And not literally, I mean, flew maybe 20 feet in front of us slowly, but without any sort of movement other than the direction they were going. You know, the wind had no effect on these things. Again, it was very quickly. They didn't hover around. They didn't move around. They just went right by the neighborhood, through the neighborhood, and continued going down the street, and then we couldn't see them anymore. Thought that was quite bizarre. I didn't think much about that. My wife and I have talked about it, and we still talk about it to this day. And I still have no idea what that could have been. Couldn't have been drones, I imagine. Again, you know, I have a drone, and I can't take it out if the wind's more than 10 miles per hour. Not sure what it was. It is very strange, very, very, very bizarre to have the tornadoes, first of all, one night, but two nights. And actually, there was a tornado, small one, that did touch down that second day, not in our town, but a few towns over. So, again, not sure what they were. Could they have been weather balloons? Hey, why not, right? Swamp gas? Probably not. Not many swamps here in the area. It was three round basketball-sized orbs. And that's all I can say. Everyone, thank you for your time. Nick, thanks again for your time. Be safe, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
Really appreciate you coming on today. You're calling from Florida, but your experiences happened in Virginia.
That is correct, yes.
Would you like to start with your UFO sighting, please, Cindy?
Sure. It was probably in the spring, about May of 2005, and it was in the northern area of Colonial Heights. People who grew up in that area would know, like Route 1 and Harrogate Road. Our church had purchased some land, and they were going to build a new church. And so we had this land, and so my Sunday school class decided we were going to do a camp out kind of in a horseshoe setting. So all of our tents were kind of in a horseshoe. That night, while we were sleeping, there was a very bright beam that came into the tent. So I thought, because we had some jokesters around, I thought that someone was shining a flashlight in the tent. So I jumped up and went outside the tent and looked up, and I saw three kind of lime green glowing balls of light going across the sky. And it was the day of having your camera and your video recorder or a cell phone, but back in 2005, I had none of that. So I was watching it go across and they just vanished. They were so bright and so big. So I was stunned. I had no idea what it was, but I went back to bed, and the next morning my husband was teasing me because I told him what I'd seen. And he's like, well, don't tell anyone because they're going to think that you're crazy. So I kind of kept it to myself as long as I could. And then finally I just said, did anyone else see those lights in the sky? And one other lady told me, she said, yes, I saw them. Now, what were they? And I said, I have no idea. But I would be fascinated to know if anyone had, you know, at that time around 2005 in the spring, saw anything or knew of any lights in the sky. So that's my story. And just the lack of social media at the time, not even being able to share with a large group of people. So that's my story. And, you know, I've never figured out what was going on with those lights.
How big would you have said these balls of light were?
Oh, it was hard to determine. They were low. They weren't really high in the sky. They were kind of low, and they were a pretty good size. It's hard for me to judge exactly how big they were, but I heard no sound, and they moved in a straight line, slowly, and then they, and it wasn't like they just went off in the distance. They just disappeared. But they were pretty good size. And then, like I said, there was three of them. So they probably, you know, all together was a long line. It was pretty huge.
And were they moving in unison together?
Yes. They were moving in a straight line.
Interesting. And the location of your camping trip, is it very remote?
Not remote and not really heavily populated. Kind of, like I said, this was a fairly large piece of ground that had recently been sold to our church. And there's another church in the area. There's like three churches in that area. But being a Friday night, there, you know, wasn't any activities going on in that area, in that immediate area, except, you know, for us being there in the campground. So there's a lot of businesses, but there's not, you know, I can't even remember. It's probably like 2-3 in the morning. There's not, you know, much going on in that area.
Were they entering the woods or were they just floating above the trees?
They were floating above the trees.
Like a lime green color.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be interesting, anyone else witnessing anything like that? And that was in Chester, Virginia.
That was in, the Chester area. People who are in that area would know, near Swift Creek Mill and right, in that vicinity of, there's like a crossroads. There's like a Route 1 and then a Harrogate Road in that area. So that's the area that it was.
Did you ever report it? I know your husband said not to tell no one, but
I didn't really know who to report it to. I did watch the news just to see if there was any like meteorological thing or, something that was happening that would have explained it, or to see whether anyone had said, hey, what are these lights? And I never heard anything. And I don't really even know who to report that kind of stuff to. So I didn't say anything as far as reporting it to anybody. I just talked amongst our group. And I had the one girl who did see it, I kind of felt like, okay. So she reaffirmed it is what I saw.
Yeah, well, it means you're not crazy.
Right.
Especially when someone else sees it.
It's hard to explain that to someone if they've never seen something like that.
Mm, exactly. Yeah, people can be quite quick to judge sometimes.
Yeah.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
That's great. Do you want to move on to your next one there, Cindy?
Yeah, my next story it's a tough one for me. And that was in November of 1988. And there was a young man, very, very talented. And he took dancing from the same person I took dancing with. Very talented young man, singer, actor. And he grew up in the Chester area where he and his dad were, they were in a boat and they were shooting down mistletoe from the trees. They were in the James River, which for people in Virginia, they would know it was in the Hopewell area where this accident occurred. But a storm came up while they were out there in the boat shooting down mistletoe, and the boat capsized. It took a little while for them to find the bodies. They found Jay's dad's body, but Jay's body was not found. At the time they had a memorial service, there was only one body to have the memorial service. So my dear friend, it was tragic because they had not found his body. Well, I was at my mother's house with my husband and my mom. We were in her living room watching a basketball game on television. And through the television, we heard the words, "Lee Mallory, this is your conscience speaking." And Lee Mallory was the dad who was the dad of this young man that they hadn't found the body yet. But Jay, it just struck me. I still get emotional and chills and have no idea what happened. And we sat there, my mom, my husband, and myself. And then finally I said, "Did anyone else hear that voice coming out of the television?" And they were like, "Yes." And I was like, "What was that?" And so I called the TV station and I said, "Did you have interference? Is something, a voice come through, or interference, radio, or anything like that?" And they said, "No, they had no problem with their reception. There was nothing that had gone on there." I have no idea, but the dad, whoever's voice that was like putting guilt on the dad, and because he took his son out in a storm to shoot mistletoe down. It was days later, they eventually did find Jay's body, but That moment has me shook, and I can't explain it. I have no idea. But I just kept thinking, did his family hear that? Did his mother hear? You know, I don't know. That is a story that even that long ago has really affected me.
It's a very tragic story, and it's strange how your TV became a conduit for contact near enough.
Yes, yeah. And I just don't know whether that man's soul was struggling so much with what happened. And then, you know, it just came through, you know. But yeah, it was a tragic thing. And that whole area, because they knew this young man from being in musicals and singing and dancing. He's so talented. It was very, very tragic.
Yeah, hopefully since they found the body, hopefully they're at rest now.
Yes. Yes. I just appreciate you, you know, wanting to hear my story. And like I said, it would be interesting. I don't know, you know, if any of my friends will listen to this, and hopefully, or anyone in that area, you know, I guess they can contact you and let you know if they also, you know, experienced any of those.
Exactly. If anyone was in the area, just, you know, roughly the same time, or if you know, if you've seen something very similar in that area, get in contact.
Exactly.
I mean, I do. I know I have quite a lot of listeners in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
for sure. So yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But definitely, if you get a chance, even after all these years, you can actually still report it. No problem.
Right.
I mean, I can send you a couple of links. I mean, you can either do it via MUFON, or you can use the National Reporting Center. I personally prefer the National Reporting Center because a lot of researchers tend to use that to match up any sightings and stuff.
I know. Well, we lived in Roswell at the UFO Museum. They had a library area where you could report, you know, enter in. So I did. I don't know exactly where that goes, but I did put the UFO incident into that log. So, and you were able to, you know, I was able to look up, you know, different areas, and, you know, that around the time, but I didn't see anything at that time than anyone. And that was probably, you know, 2010 or maybe when we were in Roswell.
Of course, before you lived in Florida, you were living in Roswell, weren't you?
Yes.
And what made you move to the desert?
Well, my husband is a worship pastor, and he wanted to go to a church that just needed to build up their music and orchestra, and because that's where his gifts are. So he, you know, looked various places, but I had this feeling, and I don't even know why, that I was going to be in New Mexico. And so I didn't want to leave Virginia, really, but I just had that overwhelming that you're going to be in New Mexico. And I'm like, what? And so I felt really comfortable until he said, hey, there's a church looking for a worship pastor, and it's in New Mexico. And I was just like, well, I'm going to New Mexico. I knew that's where I was going to end up. And sure enough, and it was Roswell. And so very interesting. And one of my friends there is a researcher. So because I was always fascinated after seeing what I saw. So, yeah, it was fascinating living there.
And of course, Roswell's quite famous.
Yes.
for a couple of things. You know, there's quite a lot of stuff actually happens in New Mexico. It's a very active place, not just with UFOs, but, you know,
yeah,
strange experiences in general.
I've never lived in a place where you don't have the next town for, you know, 2 hours. I mean, it really is. There's nothing around it but, you know, farmland and, you know, desert and, you know, that's it. And there's just nothing. And so I was like, it's very odd place to live. But most people don't. I really got in, you know, like UFO festival every year, and I would go and participate in the lectures and, you know, listening. But most people just call it the incident. The people who live there don't really want to talk about it. So they, you know, they call it the incident. It's very interesting going to the museum and read the affidavits on people's deathbeds that they can now feel like they can speak without threat of, you know, losing their life. And everyone had the same story. But, you know, the government had a gazillion different stories, but they had the same exact. And these people were all over the, you know, world and had left, you know, and moved. And but on their deathbed wrote the exact same story of what they encountered. So I always, you know, so something happened. Something happened.
Oh,
and these people kept quiet, you know, because they were fearful for their life. So, yeah.
And there, you know, there was quite a lot of threats. And there were so many witnesses. You know, the whole event. You know, there was so many witnesses, and yeah, there was a lot of threats made.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a fascinating story, and obviously, it's been redone over and over and over again. But it's, the core of it is a fascinating story, and I could understand the locals not wanting to talk about it.
I mean, the sad thing is most of the eyewitnesses, firsthand eyewitnesses, are getting older and, you know, dying off. I did meet some people who were children at the time who, you know, witnessed pieces of the actual crash ship that crashed. And so, you know, it's fascinating talking to them, but, you know, those people are going to be gone. You know, it won't be long.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone's getting older, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
getting older.
We all are.
Fantastic. So how long were you living there in Roswell?
In Roswell, about 3 years. Yeah, I was itching to get back to the East Coast, closer to my parents and children. They lived in Virginia. Interesting time.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, lovely. Yeah, I'd like to make it out one day. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing them.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Again, it's a fascinating account, that is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that someone hears it and said yes, and they can kind of just figure it out. I've never had a TV talk to me before, so yeah, it's a little bizarre.
It is bizarre, yeah, but not, you know, it's not the first time I've heard something like that, especially from the TV, you know, the TV and same as radio. I've heard stories from radio as well before, but you know, like you said, you had a connection to them anyway, so
yes, yeah, I did.
So maybe it was just them reaching out.
Could have been.
That's great, Cindy. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, you too, Nick.
That is all we have time for. If you enjoyed the show, share it with someone somewhere. Don't forget, you can head over to our website, ufochroniclespodcast.com, where you can get more information on episodes, check out our podcast shop, and importantly, submit your encounters. I will be back next week with more witnesses. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.